Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this podcast, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. My guest today, Joy Avery Melville, is an author who fully intended to write historical romance. However, God had other plans in mind, and she surrendered to the genre he placed on her heart. Writing women's fiction has given Joy new insight into the hearts and lives of those who too often hurt in silence. The settings of Joy's books are near Schoolcraft, Michigan, where she resides with her husband of nearly 47 years and their two-year-old Yorkie. Her latest book, Sown in Peace, is a fictionalized account of a veteran's journey back to health and peace after returning from her fourth deployment in Afghanistan, where she was severely physically and emotionally wounded. Joy's heart's desire is to be the author God has called her to be by sharing him with readers in such a way they long to have a deeply committed personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord. Good morning, Joy. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Patty.
Such a pleasure to have you here, Joy. I've read your book and I've enjoyed it. I usually like to start my interviews by asking folks kind of a where it all began question. So could you share with us what childhood experiences do you feel influenced the person you are today as a Christian and as a writer? Did you grow up in a Christian home or did your Christianity come to you later in life? And what about your writing? Was that something that interested you as a younger person or not so much?
I actually grew up in a very conservative Christian home. I didn't actually accept the Lord until a Bible school in, I think I was eight. It was summer vacation Bible school. And to this day, I can remember the lady who was presenting a flannelgraph story. Do you remember flannelgraph?
No, I sure don't. I don't think I'm even familiar with it, Joy.
It was a story where there's a piece of flannel with a scenery on it. And then as the woman tells the story, she places the characters who also have flannel on the backs of these pieces. She places it on that setting. So it's kind of an object lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the story. It was a Bible story. But I remember her telling how important it was that we know Jesus Christ personally and that that is something we have to do from our heart. It can't be our parents telling us we're Christians. It has to be an actual choice that we personally make. And that really resonated with me. I remember going to a classroom after the story was done and the kids were all dismissed to various activities. And she prayed with me and shared scripture with me. Crazy as it sounds, I can even remember the dress she had on.
Wow.
But it was very real to me. It was about a year following that I took sick with something the doctors had never seen or heard of. And polio was running crazy in our area of Michigan at the time. So their first thought was polio. But I did not exhibit all of the symptoms. I had paralysis, and it started with my lower extremities and worked up until my arms and hands were even affected. And I was hospitalized. They had done a spinal tap and all kinds of blood work and everything. That time, we were placed in wards. So I was in the children's ward. I saw other kids coming, going in the weeks that I was in there. And I had a favorite nurse. And when she was on night duty, she would pray with me. I was so influenced by her prayers that I carried those with me when I was discharged. I was still paralyzed. The doctors still didn't know what it was. And I went home to a crib in the dining room, which was central living for our farmhouse. I can't tell you how many weeks I was in that condition, but I do know that when people visited, they would often pray with me. My mom and dad prayed with me daily, and that has never left me. That's something that I will never forget. I later realized the commitment my dad really had with the Lord. He and my mom were both very strong Christians, very hospitable people, very giving. But my dad was sacrificial in his giving. He taught me we live by faith, not by sight, and we don't boast about what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't make such hard, fast plans that they are paramount to what God may want. Those two things have stuck with me through all these years, decades, and I think having gone through that prepared me for other physical things that have happened since and gave me a closer walk with the Lord than I might have had as a child, a teenager, a young adult. I think it prepared me for eighth grade when the Lord asked me to write. I've always read. That was one of the things that my parents both instilled in me when we were kids. And I am the next to the youngest of seven siblings. In the farmhouse we grew up in, there wasn't heating upstairs. There were registers in the floors, and we could hear our dad reading Grace Livingston Hill stories to my mom, or Zane Grey, the Virginian, was a biggie. Emily Loring stories. Now, they aren't biblical. They aren't Christian stories, but they had strong moral conservative values. My mom collected all of the Grace Livingston Hill books and the Emily Loring books. So we grew up in a reading family. And I think that set the tone for the call God gave me in eighth grade to become a writer.
Joy, it sounds like you have some very vivid memories of your childhood, and you definitely had some rather intense experiences that guided your path. So thank you so much for sharing all that. So Joy, your latest novel, Sown in Peace, is the first book in the Operation Return to Peace series. Tell us about it. Try and tell us what you can without giving away the whole story, because of course we want people to buy the book.
Sown in Peace. I had intended to write a story where the hero was a returning veteran and was wounded and had PTSD. That's what I had set out to do. But I had asked the Lord, if you want me to write this story like my other, please send me human resources. I read a lot of books that I purchased about PTSD, veterans, military working dogs, therapy dogs. I read a lot. But I wanted some firsthand experience talking to me. before I even put my pen to page, and I often write at least the first prologue or first chapter on notebook paper, like my homework assignment, with pen and paper. Before I did that, I asked the Lord for two or three human resources. Within 2 weeks of praying for that, God supplied two men. Neither had therapy dogs where they were actually trained therapy dogs. I asked the Lord, please, can I have that? And I try not to run ahead of him. I'm not always good at waiting, but I waited. And I did put prayers out there. There was a gal I knew that had written books that had military working dogs in. And I asked her if she knew of anyone who dealt with therapy dogs. And she said, well, if I did, I wouldn't tell you because I keep those things confidential. And it's like, okay, sure. So I believed God told me to just hold off. Later, a gal had seen my prayer and she goes, oh, I know some people. And so she connected me to someone who connected me to someone who actually had a therapy dog. And then later I found out it was the same person that that other person was involved with.
Oh, how funny. Oh, my goodness.
Like I said, I don't believe in coincidences. I firmly believe in God incidences.
Yeah, so do I.
I had phone calls to each of these wounded warriors. I had the privilege, and I do not say this lightly, I had the privilege of meeting one who lives 2 hours from me in person. And we met at a Bob Evans. He had very classic symptoms of PTSD. And when we first met, his body language was very closed off. First of all, he sat with his back to a wall so he could see every entrance, every person coming, going, and he was constantly vigilant of what was going on. He had his arms practically wrapped around himself and his head tilted down. He said to me, I'm glad to meet you. I want to help you, but there might be things you ask me that will just shut me off. And I'm praying, Lord, you connected us. I don't know what to ask him now because I don't want to cause issues.
Mm-hmm.
I took my notebook, I put it on the floor, put my pen in my purse, and I just put my arms on the table while we waited for our order, and I said, just tell me things that everybody should know about. When I write, I want to make sure I get the equipment correct. I want to make sure I don't say Jeep when it isn't a Jeep. You know,
yeah,
just give me informational things. You don't have to tell me anything personal. I said, the whole reason I wanted to meet with you was so that anything I say in my story is true. And he kind of loosened his arms, and we started talking. Our food came, and he continued talking while I ate. And then he said, aren't you going to get your notebook out? Don't you want to write this down? Our first meeting was 4 hours.
Wow.
That was followed by telephone conversations, countless Facebook messenger chat conversations, which with his permission, I did copy and paste. So I have a notebook
mm-hmm.
of our conversations. And the same with my wounded warrior in Texas. A lot of Facebook chat and a lot of telephone conversations and many emails. I did the same with his permission. I copied and pasted. And so I do. I have a 1.5-inch binder, and it's strictly those conversations. And it's packed. They gave me over and above logistics, vehicle information. They started sharing their lives with me. And I started writing, and I did not want to stop. For some reason, every time I would put the guy's name down that was going to be my hero, I felt it wasn't right. So I thought I just had the wrong name. And I love naming characters. My character building is my love. So I wrote out all the statistics, you know, height, weight, eye color. And it just didn't work right. And I thought, what is wrong with this? I had ordered a book from Amazon, and it was about the psychology, things that veterans go through when they're diagnosed with PTSD. And I came across this information about women in the military. Got to reading about that. There are fewer known diagnosed women PTSD. Now, granted, there are fewer women in the military than men.
Right.
But I got to looking at statistics, and I thought, what if she's a woman? What if it's not Tony, but Tori?
Yeah.
So Anthony became Victoria. And then it was like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And it just fell into place for her to be the character. And I learned so much about the legalities of women in combat and how they got around some of that. Because women could be attached to a platoon or a unit, but they could not be assigned to combat. But they served in combat.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were attached to a unit. The idea was they were attached for peacekeeping and that kind of thing. And as you probably saw in Sown in Peace, Tori did a lot with the village children and became attached to a couple of them, especially. And she had kind of a gift of reaching out to the women and children in villages, and men could not do that. A military servicemen are not allowed to touch a woman, especially Afghanistan, Muslim, Iraq. Those are the two that I studied the most.
Mm-hmm.
So for searching purposes, a man could not search a woman, cannot search a woman. And so women, like in Tori's position, were sent on missions to do that. Tori became a commander, combat commander, so she was in charge of some of the missions that they went on. There are other things that my men, I call them my men, they're my wounded warriors.
Sure.
They've become family to me. They're very, very special to me. As I got to know them, and as I had a chance to spend more of those sessions at the Bob Evans with one of them, things started creeping into the story that actually happened to them. After I'd write a chapter, I'd send it to both of the guys and say, so, is this okay? What do you think? By the time the story was finished, the one guy was attending college, and he invited my husband and I to his graduation, and he took us out for pizza afterwards.
Oh, nice. Wow.
We've been invited to his son's graduations, both high school and now college. If the other wounded warrior lived closer, we'd be more involved in his life too. But I have to say, it was not my idea to have a woman PTSD vet. I've come to learn that they do suffer with PTSD. You just don't hear about it as much as the men who have suffered with it.
How interesting, Joy, because I just kind of assumed when I read the book that, oh, she's a women's fiction writer. Of course she has a woman as a main character. I mean, it just really, so I'm so glad that you shared that with us, because I just didn't know that. Joy, you shared a wonderful story about how you connected with some wounded warriors and how they helped you so much with your book. How would you say that the writing of Sown in Peace influenced your own personal faith journey? Do you feel like that enriched your relationship with God in a way?
Yes, definitely. He has given me a deeper appreciation, a deeper love for those who are hurting, those who have served us. They felt they needed to be patriotic or served because someone in their family has served and they wanted to follow in their footsteps. But the Lord has shown me through talking to these men that He has a purpose for every life. He has kept those men alive to tell stories that will lead others to Him. Both of these men are Christian men, and I did not know that. I didn't have a clue when I became connected with them. And they have deepened my faith when I've learned some of the things they faced and have come through it. Not unscathed, they both have acute PTSD, but they also have leaned on the Lord and given me encouragement to lean more on the Lord.
That's wonderful, Joy. And I figured that it had probably changed you, having had the experience of meeting with these men, and that they shared, when you were saying that they kind of opened up to you, it's like, okay, there became a time in this relationship with these two where they just truly opened their heart to you. It became more than
yes.
just the logistics of equipment and all of this kind of thing. They actually opened their hearts to you, and that's what made your book such an intense reading experience, I believe, anyway, as a reader. Joy, as you know, the premise of this show is for folks to talk about their journey from darkness to light, or how they lead others out of darkness, which you definitely, I'm sure, have done with this book and with your other writings. Was there anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah. When God called me to write in eighth grade, he had prompted an English teacher to request a short story from me. Now, we had only lived in that small community for like a week, and it was the last 6-week period of the school year. I went into this strange environment, and the homeroom teacher was also my English teacher. And she came to me one of the first classes, and she said, "I have no idea what I'm going to have you do for our final exam, but I'm giving it some thought." Well, an eighth grader, introvert, shy student is sitting there going, "What is she thinking? What
right.
is she going to come up with?" And I shared it with my parents, and of course my dad said, "Well, have you prayed about it?" So I spent a lot of time just asking God, to help me with whatever she was going to throw at me. We got down to the last week of school, and she said, I want you to write a short story. Have you ever written? And I know I had the deer in the headlights look when I stared at her because I had never written anything other than assignments. And I said, okay. Well, I had enough Grace Lemmingston Hill in me by then that I went home and on lined ruled paper in pencil, I wrote a story. Now, I'd had no lessons in creative writing. I started with the day the parents brought Dorinda Holden home from the hospital. And in 40 handwritten pages, I had her being proposed to. And of course, my teacher told me after she graded it and handed it back, she asked me to visit her after school. I looked at the paper, I saw an A+, and I thought, well, she can't say anything that's going to freak me out. I went to her after school, and she said, I gave you an A+, because your detail is amazing for a girl your age. Attention to detail. She said, your setting, your description, your characters. I could not put the story down. She said, but I will tell you this. A short story doesn't cover an entire lifespan of a character.
Right.
Then she encouraged me to seek out all the creative writing I could in my future school. And, of course, I would be a freshman that next fall. And she said, any writing class you can get. She said, immerse yourself in learning the craft of writing. She said, I don't know if your parents plan on you going to college. I don't know what your future holds. But she said, your ability with this short story shows me you really need to pursue writing. If I remember correctly, that was a Friday afternoon. And the following Sunday, we had a visiting preacher at our church. And on using the gift God gives you to its fullest capacity, I don't believe in coincidences. Even as an eighth grader, I didn't believe in coincidences. And I fully believe God was speaking to me about writing. Now, I had no idea how he wanted me to use it. And I did pursue writing. I took journalism. I took playwriting. I took play production. I ended up one of four high schoolers, two freshmen, a junior, and a senior. And we wrote a full-length operetta. I was responsible to write one of the songs, and I realized, God isn't asking me to write lyrics of songs. But I fulfilled that responsibility, and then I had a big part of the actual storyline to write. It was a historical romance placed at the time of the Civil War. And I fell in love with historical romances. And I thought, oh, this must be what God wants me to write. Wrong. In the course of the writing, I also took speech class, took literature classes. Some, of course, were required. But I came out of high school still really wanting to write historical romance. And then I wrote one, but a lot of things happened between high school and writing that romance. A lot of life happened. Some of it I just plain allowed to get between me and the call. Mm-hmm. But it seemed that every time I would really buckle down and have full intention of fulfilling that call, something intervened. In 1992, I wrote short stories for contests, and I won a contest. We moved my dad in with us. As spur of the moment, Joy, can I please ask you and Jerry the favor of taking me in? I am no longer capable of taking care of myself. Now, my dad was a very proud man, and the fact that he had to ask that of us showed how humble he had become. It was 24/7 care, and all I had done to get my writing underway went out the window. Jerry had purchased me a big desk. He'd changed one of our rooms into a library of sorts, an office. He helped me get a computer. I really thought, finally, I get to do this. We had just taken our daughter to college. It looked like everything was ready to go. And then God asked me to take care of my dad. Between 1992 and 1998, I did very little writing again. I do not regret those years. I think God fully intended that I experience them with my dad to cement some of the things that I believe and challenge some of the things that I had believed, maybe. I had to put my dad in a nursing home. None of my siblings could take over for me. When I was diagnosed with a muscle disease, unknown origin, unknown to man, the name of the thing, but I had to go to University of Michigan about every 2 months for a very long period of time. And they did EMGs and MRIs, it seemed like constantly, because they could not get to the bottom of whatever this is. Along in that same period of time, based on other criteria, they diagnosed me with fibromyalgia, connective tissue disease, and a central nervous system disease. They still haven't got a name for two of these things. So that's where faith plays a big part of my life. And something came to me, I think about 2003, if I remember right. Nothing touches our lives ever as Christians that doesn't first get sifted through our most capable Lord Jesus Christ's hands. There is always a reason. Each time I'm diagnosed with something new, I have to run that through my head until it hits my heart again. And I can firmly believe every word of that. I joined American Christian Fiction Writers 2009-2010. And I was writing historical romance and loving every minute of it. I decided I was going to finally get to attend the 2011 American Christian Fiction Writers Conference. Their national conference was held in St. Louis, Missouri in late September. In August, I had overheard a newscast. I was in the kitchen doing dishes, and I heard about this local gal who had been kidnapped and brutally beaten, raped, and left for dead. Now, I hear newscasts all the time, and I pray for the people involved. I pray for family members, all that kind of thing. But that newscast would not let me go. And I'd pray for the family. I'd pray for, I believe she had a fiance. I know that I prayed for the people involved a long time. I went to that conference the next month with my historical romance. And I pitched it to agents and editors. And every one of them said, why aren't you writing contemporary fiction? And, you know, it was, well, why can't I write historical fiction? People love this story. I left the conference feeling let down. But before I even got home to Michigan, that newscast was hitting me again. And I said, okay, Lord, what's going on? What is really going on? They suggest I should write contemporary. You keep throwing this newscast in my brain. What is it you're trying to tell me? That was the last week of September. The middle of November, I was still asking, what am I supposed to do? And it hit me. You are supposed to write contemporary fiction, but not straight romance. You're supposed to tell stories about those who have been hurt. I don't know if you know the story of Jacob and the time he wrestled with God.
Yes.
But I wrestled. I would go to bed thinking about my day and end up waking up asking God to please take that thing away. I didn't think I could write women's fiction. Don't read a lot of women's fiction because it often starts out dark and many end up as dark as they start out. Not all. So I did. I fought it. And then I said, Lord, could I at least have Happy Ever Afters in there? And he has blessed me with being able to still use romance in my stories. But they are definitely women's fiction. There's much more to them than the romance. And as you witnessed when you read Sown in Peace, it's more of a hopefully ever after.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what got me from having accepted the Lord to writing contemporary Christian women's fiction with a thread of romance. In the process of following God's leading, in answering the call to write, and then surrendering to the call to write women's fiction, I have become aware of spiritual warfare. I mistakenly thought as long as I obeyed, I could write this, I could edit this, I could have professionals edit it, and it would publish, and everything would fall into place without glitches and ditches and hurdles, and I was so wrong. It appears that the stronger the message, the deeper the storyline, the tougher it is to get it out. I believe that Satan knows his time is short, and he is trying his best to keep any message God wants out from getting there. Now, we know that God is all-powerful, and when he has a purpose, he will see that purpose arrived at. But that doesn't mean that we won't have those flaming arrows shot at us. It doesn't mean everything is going to be all fun and games. And I have learned that trusting comes a lot, not easier, a lot more emphatic for me now, mm-hmm. having seen this book published and all that I faced to see it actually on Amazon. Reading has always been my weakest area anyway, but just getting it published faced a lot of opposition.
Praise God, Joy, that you had the perseverance to follow through with that. And boy, I just want to say amen, sister. I'm right there with you with the whole spiritual warfare issue. And there are so many people that just totally sweep that under the rug. And oh my goodness, I could go on for the next 2 hours about that. So I'm so glad you brought that up, Joy. Thank you for doing that. And God bless you. So I really, really want to thank you for talking about that.
I have been so blessed by private messages from readers.
Mm-hmm.
Things in the story that I thought were maybe transitional, you know, to get the story from point A to point C.
Right.
Have touched readers in ways I never would have dreamed of. And there are a couple instances where one reader private messaged me and she said, I couldn't believe that. I could not believe that. That I had never heard that. Thank you so much for putting that in your book. And I sat there with tears running down my cheeks because I didn't, when I wrote it, it was incidental to me.
Yeah.
But it highly impacted a reader. And I knew God worked through that. That wasn't me.
Definitely, yeah.
And I had an email from a reader. These are people I don't know. And she said, I never realized you could pray anytime for anything. I am so glad your characters pointed that out to me. She said, your books are so real. And again, the tears flowed, you know.
Sure.
Because to me, that is God affirming what he has asked of me.
Yeah,
they
absolutely
were not things I expected.
Yeah, those rewards that people reap from reading your work that you never even imagined were a part of the of your original plan.
Exactly.
Yeah. I am going to take a little what I call kind of a station identification to remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. I am honored to have author Joy Avery Melville here with me today. Joy has written a book entitled Sown in Peace. It is the story of a female wounded warrior. She has been talking about her book. We have also talked about some of the experiences that she's had in her life that had led her up to her writing career, which was very interesting. We have some other things we're still going to talk about yet, but I did want to make listeners aware that if you want to learn more about Joy, first of all, if you would like to listen to the podcast again, or hopefully refer it to friends or family, you will find an archive link on my website, which is Patty Sheen, that's spelled PattiSheen.com. There you will find Joy's podcast as well as all of the podcasts that we have recorded to date. Just go to the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the website, and there you will find not only all of the podcasts, but under each one is more information tab, and that's where you will find out how to get in touch with Joy. Joy has a lot of social media outlets. She has a website. She has a blog. She's on Facebook. She's on, are you on Twitter, Joy? Yes.
Yes.
You are, and she's just all over the place out there in in cyberspace, so you'll be able to get in touch with Joy. She would like folks to know that she does respond to readers. She loves to hear from her readers. So I hope that you will pursue that by getting in touch with Joy. And of course, we hope that you will buy her book, Sown in Peace. And let's get back to our discussion of that book. Yeah. Well, Joy, your main character, Tori, she had a major issue with her dad because he withheld information from her. I don't want to give away too much in the story. To protect her while she was facing combat situations. Have you learned anything about the way family members view their loved ones under these conditions?
Yeah. My siblings, I don't know if because of the way we were reared or what, but I've been kind of protected, a little bit naive, especially in my formative years and maybe up through high school. I didn't realize how easily some family members could become estranged from other family members. I thought that familial connection covered a multitude of sins. But for some reason, I was led to write about that estrangement. And as I was writing it, it was, whoa, I don't know about this. So I passed it around to some trusted writers to give me their input. And one of them said, are you kidding me? This is so what has happened in my family. What do you mean it can't be real? And that was an eye opener for me.
Mm-hmm.
I did not set out to write that about Tori and her dad with the idea that it was something I'd experienced or someone I knew had experienced. I think it was one of those God things. He wanted in there for a reason. And when others said, what do you mean this can't be real? Grow up.
Yeah.
So I left it in there. I expanded it. And my beta readers thought that those two characters and how God worked in their lives was, well, one gal said, I just sat there and bawled.
Well, another main character who becomes very important to Tori throughout the story is named Griff, G-R-I-F-F. However, you change one letter in his name when Tori refers to him as Grief, G-R-I-E-F. There's definitely a significance to that. Would you share a little bit of that with us without, again, trying to give away too much of the story, if you can do that?
Well, that came about... That came about with a typo.
Oh, how funny.
I looked at it, and before I switched it, it hit me. Oh, man, this is too good. I've got to leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there are different places in the story where they banter back and forth. He was not at all excited to have her show up with her dad at his therapy dog farm. And she did become a distraction of sorts.
Yeah, to say the least.
But he would say something, and she would come back with something to the effect, you know, you have just given me so much grief. And then she stopped, and she thought a minute. She goes, that's it. Your name is Grief. And that's how that started. And there are other places where there are humorous things in the story that have to do with that. And I like to think some of the other things in the story are somewhat humorous. But when she first started to call him Grief, it actually came about as a typo. And I thought, oh, I've got to use this.
Boy, that is so interesting how things work out that way. Well, you learned quite a bit, I'm sure, about the role of service dogs in helping wounded warriors in the writing of this book, in the writing of Sown in Peace. Could you share a little bit about that with us, what you have learned?
Yeah. Dogs have a sensitivity. God has built into many, many breeds of dogs the ability to read humans and to show compassion to humans. and to sense the needs in humans. We've always had pets, mostly dogs, and I've always been drawn to their companionship, their ability to show compassion. But I never realized how strong that is in them, and often without any training, until I was working on this book. One of my wounded warriors who came home with PTSD already had, they had a family dog. And that dog became a therapy dog to him. When he would start to go into a flashback or get lost in the throes of a nightmare, the dog would nudge him out of it, literally sensing what was about to happen, and would nudge with his nose or lay his body next to him and whine enough that it brought the warrior out of the flashback nightmare before it became strong. He couldn't believe it, but it happened over and over for him. Therapy dogs are trained that when they wear a vest, they are all about work.
Yes.
Just like the military working dogs that are trained. Some of them have a natural ability to flip that switch. Oh, I have my vest on. I have to be aware of what's going on with my master and forget everything else around me. And they do. It is amazing. They can be trained for our military personnel who come home without limbs. One, two, three, or all four. They can open doors. They can retrieve things. They can be trained to do things with a telephone to help the veteran. I was astounded at...
Yeah, quite amazing.
Yeah, the amount of things, not just the, like pulling on a rag to open a door. That I'd seen before as a trick, you know, that a dog is trained to do.
Sure.
But when I was studying this stuff and I saw how they can make phone calls to 911, they can be trained to be the alarm clock. I can't even tell you all the things I learned. We don't have time. But it made me aware of the role they play, how important they are to our men and women who come home needing that type of thing. And when I set out to write this, the therapy dog farm, I studied some foundations that get dogs at a certain age and train them for vets or for people with disabilities. And I thought, okay, this has to be a little unique, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But then when I was talking to the one vet and I told him how I had planned to write that, he goes, well, I can tell you there are also dogs who train themselves to fit their veteran when they come home. And that's when he told me about his dog.
Goodness, that is amazing. Well, Joyce, thank you so very much for all that you shared with us today about your book and about your experiences with these very special veterans and about your writing journey. And it's just been a really interesting and informative interview. So I just want to thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Oh, you are so welcome. And thank you. Thank you for your work with veterans. Thank you for putting this out there in time for Veterans Day, too. I so appreciate that.
Well, you are most welcome. And we will pray that we have some veterans and their families that are able to access the show and listen. Listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered.
Please remember our veterans this Veterans Day. Of course, Veterans Day is a week from tomorrow. And if you see a veteran, be sure and thank them for their service. Even if it's after Veterans Day, anytime you see our veterans, please acknowledge their service and the fact that they have given so much for us to maintain the freedoms that we have here in this country. May God bless you throughout this Veterans Day holiday coming up, and thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll join us again next time. I also encourage you to please go to pattysheene.com. That's PATTISHENE.com. There you will find Joy's podcast and all of the podcasts that we have recorded to date. Go to that Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the website, and then as you access the individual podcast, right below there's a tab for more information, and that's where you will find Joy's website, which is it's joyaverymelville.com, but you will find that on that more information tab. So until next time, God bless you, and thank you again for listening.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a